Well, all right. Usually this is a time where I say, hey, let's open up our Bibles as we make our way through the New Testament verse by verse. But today we got something just a little bit different for you. We have Corey Nichols with us, and Corey is with Destiny Rescue. And they deal with delivering people out of situations of slavery and the sex trafficking industry. And so I know that many of you support them on a very personal basis, and what a wonderful thing to be able to contribute your money to. And so he's here to give us a little bit of an update on that. But before we get into the issues of Destiny Rescue, I think that all of us recognize that the church is just bleeding youth like never before. In 2011, 18 to 29 year olds, 59% of them were deconstructing in their faith. And then just in 8 years later, that number is up to 64%. And then last year, two-thirds of 18 to 29 year olds have turned their back on the faith that they were raised in. And it's very interesting. Biola University tells us that 35 million youth raised in families that call themselves Christians will say that they are no longer Christians by 2050. We are really facing a great disaster in just several decades ahead of us if we don't begin to address this issue of being able to successfully pass our faith on to our children and to our grandchildren. Now, to that, you know, Corey, you were raised in this church. I remember Corey. I've known him for over 35 years, and just this little squeaky voice kid just running around the church, and now look at him. He's all grown up, right? And so you were raised in a home of a mother and father who were the followers of Christ. You went to Black Hawk High School, graduated from there. You went on to Purdue, and at Purdue, you actually came out with greater faith. You didn't lose your faith. And I'm sure that there are many students in your graduating class from Black Hawk that they've come out, you know, as atheists, alternative lifestyles, whatever. They've turned their back on their faith. But you went in the other direction. And so give parents and grandparents a word of encouragement about the next generation following hard in their spiritual footprints.
I would love to. First of all, I just want to say it's an honor to be back at Harvest. I love Harvest Fellowship. Paul and Sherry, wherever you are, I just really value you. You've been instrumental in my own journey of growth in Christ and of faithfully served and shared the word of God. So I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to my parents. My mom is back there in the sound booth, and my stepdad, Eric. And they taught me the word of God. They modeled it. And so I think there's a crisis in our world today where young people don't want fake. They don't want phony. They don't want religion. They're looking for something that's real, and Christ is real. So we need to show young people the truth of the gospel and help them encounter God in a real and relevant way. Share the testimonies of what God's done in your life. Don't pretend you have your act all together, but it's at the foot of the cross through mercy that we received forgiveness of our sin. I had a great foundation, as Paul was saying, but I went away to college, and there my faith was tested. I took evolution classes. There was a class that several of my friends were in about world religions, and many of these kids went away abandoning their faith in Christianity. And so I got involved with a Christian organization called Campus Crusade for Christ. It was an amazing organization. These kids had a real zeal for God. They were out there sharing their faith with individuals on campus, and that intrigued me. It inspired me. It made me want to do that myself. And so I got involved with them. And I remember one night specifically, I prayed this genuine prayer: God, I want to know you. And I don't understand your grace completely, and I want to understand it. And that very night, something woke me up in the middle of the night. That's the best way to describe it. But all of a sudden, my mind was bombarded with these thoughts like, how do you know your God is real? Prove it to me. You have no real experience yourself. I would think about my parents would share these incredible stories. I would hear stories in the Bible. Missionaries share incredible stories, but I had no proof myself of the validity of God. And so instantly I jumped out of bed, I went to read the Bible, and more thoughts flooded my mind. How do you know that this is real? Are you willing to follow this the rest of your life? And so I began to think, I don't want to follow a lie my whole life. I want to understand what the truth is, and I want to follow hard after that. And it sent me on a search like I had never sought before. I went and talked to Paul. I went and talked to other people. I reasoned in my mind world religions, and Christianity made the most sense to me, but I just didn't know. And fear, real gripping fear, gripped me for the first time in my life that I could fully remember. It was a kind of fear that immobilized me. I couldn't get beyond it, and I sank deep into depression. If you list out clinical depression, I had everything known, and I could not get out of it. No matter what I did, my mind, as long as I was awake, my mind was bombarded by this stuff. My twin brother thought I was going crazy because I would talk to myself, and he said, quit moving your mouth. People are going to think you're crazy. And I was like, I feel like I am going crazy. And I'd applied to go on this missions trip with Campus Crusade for Christ at the end of the semester, going into the summer. And I was thinking, there's no way I can go on this missions trip. I'm doubting everything about Christianity. And I would cry out to God. I saw the God of the Bible. People interact with him. God spoke back to people. And that wasn't happening with me. But lots of people said that that happened to them. And I was like, whatever that is, I want that. And so I was deep in this depression, couldn't get out of it. School finally ended, and there was a month before I was to go on this missions trip with Campus Crusade for Christ. And all of a sudden, all these suicide thoughts started flooding my mind. If God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. There's no reason to go on. The world is a better place without you, just to end your life. And something inside me, I don't know how I knew this, but I knew it was not my thoughts. It sounded like my thoughts, but the enemy is deceptive. He is looking to deceive, kill, and destroy, and keep us from experiencing the life-giving power of Christ. And so it made me more determined to seek out truth. And while I was on this summer break, before I was going on this missions trip, I landed a job working for a landscape company here in the Fort Wayne area. And they asked me to go water these plants on a new construction project, landscape project, out in the middle of nowhere in Leo. And I was the only person out there the whole time. And it was an all-day job. And I was terrified because that meant I had to be by myself and all these thoughts would bombard me. And I got to a place where I couldn't go on any longer. And I remember not even working, tears streaming down my face, and I got on my knees. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I've turned to every option I know of intellectually. I've turned to people to try to help me. Nothing can get me out of this hole that I'm in. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, but I just don't know anymore. In absolute humility, I cried out to God and I just said, help. I don't even know what else to pray. I need help. And deep on the inside where I first recognized the voice of God, he said, Corey, the battle that you're going through in your mind belongs to me. I love you. You're my child. This peace that surpasses all human understanding flooded deep in my heart beyond the confusion I was facing. And I knew it was God. And all of a sudden, he brought to remembrance all these scriptures in the Bible about Abraham, Moses, these people that interacted with God and God spoke to them. And it was like this wave of confidence came over me. Well, I went on this missions trip filled with more confidence than I ever had about my Christian walk with God, that I had experienced God. But one night I was still discouraged. There was a lot of questions I still had about the Bible and things that were just beyond my comprehension as a human being. So I went to bed discouraged. I woke up in the middle of the night. And the best way to describe it was I was enveloped in the most incredible love. There's no human word that can describe the kind of love that I was experiencing. I remember sitting up in bed and touching myself, saying, I know I'm wide awake. And it was like God could saw straight through everything I ever did, every wrong thought I ever had. Everything was laid bare before a holy God, and yet I was absolutely loved. The Bible talks about, the Apostle Paul said, I wish you would know how high, how deep, how wide is the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And I remember saying, I never want to leave this. I must be in heaven or something. And then this voice out of everywhere, it was inside of me, around me, I don't even know how it happened, but he said, I am the Lord your God and I am with you. And I recognized that day that the God of the Bible is exactly who he says he is. And it caused me to have a firm foundation. I no longer believe the truth of the gospel because of my parents or because of Harvest Fellowship, but because I experienced the living God for myself. Yeah. And so I want to encourage anybody here who has people that are struggling with their faith or you have kids, bring them to an authentic place where they can hear the truth of the gospel and be real before them of walking with him. He will help meet you in your darkest hour and in your greatest need.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Now, being on the front lines of this trafficking epidemic, you see the connection between pornography and sex trafficking. Now, right now, before the Indiana State Legislature, there's a couple of important pieces of legislation that need to be brought up for a vote. The very first one is Senate Bill 12. And Senate Bill 12, you cannot give alcohol to a minor, nor can you give obscene material to a minor. Both of those are illegal. And if you do that, you're going to be prosecuted. But there's an exception. And the exception is a school or a library, which is insanity, right? I mean, I would think of any place needs to get in trouble for giving kids obscene material, it should be in a school. So this bill will say, look, it doesn't matter who, what, or where you are. If you give this kind of garbage to twist and pervert a young person's mind, you're going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. The second bill is House Bill 1646, and this is fining big tech companies when they have on their various platforms child pornography. That they will be told, you have this on one of your platforms, get it off, you've got 24 hours to do so, and if it's not off in 24 hours, it's a $1 million fine. Now, we have to understand that big tech, for the most part, these are evil organizations, and they are not interested in the welfare of an individual. In 2021, just to give you a sense of where big tech is at, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children would contact these various big tech companies and say, hey, on this platform, you got this, it's terrible, you need to get it off, it's illegal. Well, it's interesting that it would take Amazon, it took Amazon, an average of just over one day. Now, that's pretty good in comparison to other companies, as we'll see. If you had a business that had a website and somebody called you up and said, hey, you know your business's website, you know you got child porn on there? I mean, you'd be mortified, would you not? And you would get your IT guy on the phone so quick it'd make a person's head spin. Now, Twitter, they took almost 2 days. And then Yahoo, they took almost 6 days to get it off. Google took almost 7 days. Facebook took over a week. And Microsoft took almost 9 days because they don't care. But what they do care about is money. And this bill is going to make sure that they pay a hefty fine if they don't get this crap off of their various platforms. Now, we have to understand the people that you send down to Indianapolis, they're afraid of two things. They're not afraid of you.
They're afraid of the teachers union, and they're afraid of big tech. And even though we elect them and they tell us that they are pro-family and blah, 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 they're all of this, at the end of the day, their chief concern is money and getting re-elected again. So we need to make sure that our voice is heard. And I encourage you to call Liz Brown's office this week. We want this bill brought to a vote, right? And who in their right mind would vote against such a bill? Now, as you deal with this on the front lines, what do you see as the connection between pornography and trafficking?
Absolutely. So pornography is extremely addictive. It's equated to the addiction of like heroin or cocaine. There's chemicals in the brain called dopamine, and it's extremely addictive. But the key thing about pornography is once you view a certain image, it no longer has the same effect that it once did. So you're looking for other forms of pornographic images to get that same high, so to speak, that you would. And people are getting more and more deeply ingrained in this pandemic of exploitation, and eventually people want to act out their fantasies, and we are seeing that all over the world. Human trafficking is the fastest growing illegal enterprise in our world today, and by far the highest money value of human trafficking is that of sexual exploitation. So there's demand. And we're rescuing kids all the time that they're being photographed and filmed, and that's ending up on the dark web or the internet on pornographic sites. And these kids are being re-exploited over and over again. So the next time you're viewing pornography, know that the chances that you could be viewing a trafficked victim and you are exploiting them by just simply viewing that. You're participating, you're creating a demand out there, so traffickers or pornographic companies are looking to make money, and you're feeding that. This is not to shame or guilt anybody. My encouragement is, let's, as the body of Christ, say, God, help me overcome these struggles so I can be part of the solution to protect children and children and women and whoever is succumbed to these horrible industries. We recently, it's been a couple years ago, but we rescued a toddler, 2 years old. There were images of him on a man's phone in Great Britain, and he was arrested, and the police found these images of a Filipino boy, and they reached out to the Filipino National Police and got them involved, and they contacted Destiny Rescue and said, we need your help to entrap this man. He's been evading law enforcement. And so we were able to infiltrate a chat room, one of these online things, and this stepfather of this boy was filming him doing sexual acts to paying customers online. And so we were able to earn his trust and do a meetup in person at a hotel. And we were able to have him arrested and the mother of the boy arrested, for they both were in cohorts making money off of this child at 2 years old. You see, if the body of Christ doesn't rise up and get involved, these kids go on being exploited and taken advantage of. So there is a massive link between pornographic use and children being sexually enslaved around the world.
So what's the process when you get these kids out of these situations? I mean, how do you do it?
So Destiny Rescue, we're an international Christian nonprofit organization that rescues children from sexual exploitation and human trafficking. We have undercover agents in 13 countries. We're in 16 countries, but 13 countries where we rescue. So we have built trusted relationships with top law enforcement agencies, where we scour red light areas, networks of trafficking rings, street pimps that are known to traffic victims. And we're looking for kids that are trapped in sexual slavery. And so our agents are out literally every single day looking for these kids. On average, we're rescuing 9 victims a day right now. We just had our most successful year this last year. We rescued over 3,100 individuals. Over 63%, thank you. Yeah. Amen. Over 63% of them were minors under the age of 18. The youngest that we've rescued that was sexually exploited was 18 months old.
Yeah.
And so our agents, when working with law enforcement, they look to us to build cases. And many of the countries we're in, they don't have the manpower and the resources and tools to build cases to combat this issue. There's a lot of challenging issues in the developing world. And so they rely on organizations like ours through trusted relationship. So last year we had over 130 successful raids and had over 160 traffickers arrested, hopefully never to harm a child or person again. And so that's amazing. And then we're on the Nepali-Indian border. We have 18 to 25 border stations on that border, and we've been given the authority from the Nepali government. So our agents have badges and uniforms to stop any vehicle, any group of people, or any individual crossing that border either way. And we're rescuing on average about two to three victims a day on that border. But if anyone resists, they're immediately arrested. And so that border station is the last line of defense from kids in Nepal being trafficked into India. They'll never see their families again, but we're stopping that, which is amazing. We need to be on the forefront to defend kids around the world. And that's what our organization is doing.
So when I think about, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child, having hundreds of encounters yep. with an adult, it would seem to me that the mind would have to be shattered, right? I can't imagine what would happen to a human mind in that. I mean, the brain is broke, right? So how in the world do you bring a human being out of that experience and lead them to normalcy? Mm-hmm.
So our organization, we don't only care about seeing kids rescued. We want to see them healed and restored to live out the destiny God has for them. So in order to do that, you need to uncover the risk factors that create vulnerability and begin to meet those and then bring healing and wholeness to them, helping them understand their worth and value. So Destiny Rescue, we have safe homes. And we have what we call community care programs. So we investigate, our caseworkers investigate. Did the parents knowingly sell their children? If that's the case, we don't let them return to their families. We have safe homes. If they did not sell their children, but they were lied to or tricked or some other form, the best case scenario is to reunite them back with their family and provide a solution, empowering the family together and bring healing to them. We call that community care. And the majority of the time, the last 2 years, that was the best possible outcome and by far the majority of the cases we were able to do. So in our care, we provide a world-class trauma rehabilitation program called Empower. It was developed by a Christian psychologist who did a lot of work in Africa with genocide, child soldiers, and saw horrific injustice done to people. And Destiny Rescue became a case study of that work. And so we take these kids through this program. It takes the best of the Christian principles and the best of science together to bring healing and wholeness to these kids. This doctor has seen over 1 million people go through this program, and Destiny Rescue, as I said, was a case study. So now all of our children that come through our care go through our Empower program, and kids are understanding their value and worth. They're learning to let go of that bitterness and anger and resentment through forgiveness, and they're able to be healed and restored. And so that is one aspect, the healing aspect. Another aspect that we do is we want to empower them. The leading cause of why kids end up in these environments is poverty. So you have to address the poverty level. They're out looking for work to help their families survive, and they're tricked or pressured into something they would never choose on their own. And so if a child is of legal age to work, 15 years or older, we want to empower them through vocational training or training on the job opportunities to increase their level of income. If that's not possible, we provide that for an older sibling, a parent, a grandparent. We may provide help them start their own small business, a microloan, whatever's needed to help increase their level of income. If the child is too young, we will help them get an education. We want them to be kids and to be healed and restored. We provide services like food, shelter, clothing, medical treatment, everything needed to put these kids' lives back together again. And this is the greatest part. We want to introduce them to the great physician of their soul, Jesus Christ. He is the key. He is the key to true lasting healing. helping them discover who they are in Christ, their value and worth. And it doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what society has told them. In Christ, they're valuable. He came to this earth that they could be rescued and restored and live out their purpose. And so many, many kids give their lives to Christ. I was recently in Africa in November, and I sat through one of our trauma rehabilitation classes with about 40 of our girls in one of our projects, and 16 girls raised their hand for the first time to accept Christ. So when you invest in the work of Destiny Rescue, you're not only bringing physical healing and restoration to them and their families, but lasting eternal healing for them. So
now tell us about this one young lady there in the white dress leading worship.
So Namazi, she was a beautiful girl that came from a difficult family situation. She never knew her mother. And then her father ran away when she was very young, and she was given to her grandmother, who was an evil woman. She abused Namazi. It was a horrible environment to live in, and she felt like she couldn't do it any longer, and so she ran away to the big city in Uganda. And she ended up in a very poor slum village that was ravaged with crime and injustice, and she succumbed to sexual abuse and exploitation at 12 years old. At 13 years old, she was trapped in a brothel, and she was so horrible and miserable by what was happening. She tried to numb the pain by taking drugs so she could try not to think about the pain that she was on. She tried all kinds of different drugs, and eventually she started sniffing jet fuel to numb the pain. And one day she was sniffing jet fuel in between customers, and one of our agents happened to be walking by, and he said, "We can help you. We help girls just like you." She said, "No one has ever helped me in my life. I don't believe you." And he kept persistently saying, "We help girls just like you. I promise we can change your life." And eventually she said yes, because there was a food offer. You see, some of these kids are prostituting themselves just to put food on the table that day for themselves. They're starving to death. And just the thought of having food was enough to get her across that line. And she came to live in one of our safe homes. And she was still very broken. She didn't understand the value and worth that she had, because she had never been taught that in her life. And some of these new girls that entered the home reminded her of her past. And she thought to herself, "I can't poison these other kids. My culture has told me I'm poisonous because of what I've endured in my life. And so I would just poison these other kids." And so she ran to a well and jumped in it, hoping to commit suicide. One of the rescue girls in the home saw her, and Namazi looked up at her and said, "Do not tell anybody I'm in here. I want to die." And she said, "No." She ran and got our team. They rescued her. And we said, "You deserve to live. God loves you and has a plan for you." Eventually she gave her life to Christ. Her heart was open through the love of the gospel message and the love of our staff. They didn't give up on her. And she began to learn about God. She began to learn that she had a future and a hope, and she could dream. And she has a dream of her owning her own store one day. Well, while in her care, she gave her life to Christ. And one day she had a dream. And in this dream, God spoke to her and said, "Your name is no longer Namazi, but Victory, because in me, you're going to live a victorious life." And so she changed her name. And this is her in the white dress, worshiping God at a church that she's plugged into today. You see, none of that happens without God's people rising up and standing in the gap for kids that are crying out for somebody to have the courage to rescue them. You see, Destiny Rescue can't do this without God's people. It's us working together. We know how to get the kids out. We know how to find them. We know how to bring healing and wholeness to them. The one thing stopping us is finances. And God is raising up His church around the world to stand in the gap for kids that can't get out without God's people.
So how can we help?
So today, I want to invite people. First of all, I want to say thank you, Paul. Harvest Fellowship has been investing in the work of Destiny Rescue for the last 8 years. And since they've joined partnering with us, we've rescued over 11,000 individuals, mostly children. So that is amazing. And many of you in this audience support Destiny Rescue financially. I just want to say, keep doing it. You are making Miracles like Namazi happen every single day. So thank you. But if you're new to our organization and God is stirring your heart to stand in the gap for these kids, we want to give you that opportunity. It's by becoming a rescue partner with Destiny Rescue. A rescue partner is somebody who gives any monthly amount to the work of Destiny Rescue, so our rescue agents can stay out every single day looking for these kids. And once they find them, build trust with them, invite them, rescue them, and bring them back to one of our safe homes, or if it's a safe option, to reunite them with their family and empower them to live out the destiny God has for them. That's a rescue partner. So some of you, that's $35 a month. It's just over a dollar a day. For some of you, God's blessed you to do a little more. You could do $50 a month. That's just under $2 a day. And some can do $75 or $100. Everybody's yes is different. But here's the thing. When you respond to God in obedience to what he's ticking at your heart, kids get rescued. Kids get restored. Kids are going to be in heaven with you and me rejoicing because they were rescued and somebody introduced them to Jesus Christ. And so these rescue partner packs are on our back table out in the foyer. I'll be out there after service. And so if that's you, there's an envelope on the inside. It says start here. I need you to take that envelope out and I need you to fill that out. Put your monthly amount, put your contact information and how you want it debited, either from your debit card, credit card, or your checking or savings account via ACH, whatever's most convenient for you. And what you get from us is you're gonna get a welcome kit in the mail. There's gonna be a friendship bracelet made by a rescued girl. There's gonna be a prayer card, a magnet that can remind you to pray for these kids every day. And then you're gonna receive regular rescue partner updates via email about the impact you're making every week. And so that's how people can get involved.
Well, I remind you of the words of Asaph as he writes in Psalm 82, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. And surely there is nothing that is more wicked than trafficking another human being. So let's pray that God would reveal to us how we need to get involved. And let's pray for Corey. Father, I just thank you for this young guy. I thank you for what a blessing and encouragement he is to this congregation. Lord, I thank you that you have been faithful in every season of his life. Amen. And we ask, Lord, that you'll continue to use him to build your kingdom. We do pray for Destiny Rescue and for Corey and their safety, Lord, as they deal with very bad guys. I pray that your angels would be found encamped round about them. We certainly pray for the hearts of these children, so damaged, so abused and afflicted. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is able to rebuild and repair, and you restore the years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten. You are the God of restoration, and we thank you that you prove yourself to be such every day of our life. So, Father, bless our brother. Open up a wide door of ministry for him and cause the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified in and through him. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.